Hi, this is Shaylin Hudson. I make candles for Scene Creations, and the price is anywhere from $3 to $8. If you'd like to contact me about purchasing any, you could call me at 907-401-1095.
You have a Facebook page? No? Hey, brother, can you hear me?
I can hear you. How you doing, bro?
Oh, pretty good, man.
So your timing's impeccable. I hit you up because I hadn't watched it yet. So when you said this evening, I wanted it fresh. So I started it an hour and a half ago, and it just finished up.
Badass, man. Hey, brother.
Hey, there we go. So normally, if it wasn't the pandemic, I'd be at Adam's house and this wouldn't happen. I'm getting bombarded with fucking messages right now.
Oh, shit.
Great.
Again, yeah, my timing's impeccable, right?
Yeah. Well, nobody fucking hits me up until
we hit the record button.
Yeah, but when we're... Like, when we do this shit in person, me and Adam just put it on airplane mode, and this isn't even an issue.
All right. So, hello and welcome to Horror After Hours. Coming to you from the Naughty Guy Studio, I am your host, the Naughty Guy, Adam J. Joining me tonight for the special episode is Bruce from Swatting Flies and Telling Lies. Hello, brother, and welcome back to Horror After Hours.
Glad to be back. And you picked, like, an all-time favorite of mine, which is even cooler.
I know. That's why it was such a must that I have you on this one.
Yeah.
So before we start getting into the movie, let me just touch on one little thing here. So the Naughty Guy is taking part in a local art show on Sunday, November 15th, 2020. I will have much of my decorative work on display, and all will be available. There will be a lot to see, so please come out and support some of Ketchikan's very talented artists and unique vendors. You may find those perfect gifts for that special someone, and even in these hard times, it should be a lot of fun. This is the Soto Art Fair, that's South Tongass Art Fair, at 3955 South Tongass Highway. That'll be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Masks will be required. So anyway, Bruce, let's get down to tonight's film.
Really quick, too, I'd like to add, if you don't have a special somebody and you recently just broken up or gotten dumped, buy that shit that they like and give it to somebody else. Hashtag King Petty. All right, bro, I'm ready.
Oh, that's awesome, bro. Let's get down to tonight's film. This one is Brain Scan, made in 1994.
Yeah.
Directed by John Flynn. And this one stars Edward Furlong as Michael Brower, Frank Langella as Detective Hayden, Amy Hargreaves as Kimberly, Jamie Marsh as Kyle, and T. Ryder Smith as the trickster. All right, looks like we're back.
Yeah, that sucked. Sorry, man.
Hey, shit happens. It's a fucking storm out there right now, bro.
I just had to message, like, quit fucking messaging, man. I was like, I'm recording a podcast. Because when that shit pops up, because it'll pop up and my phone's super sensitive and it'll open it up and cut right out of this, you know?
Oh, that sucks, man.
I can't put it on airplane mode. Sorry, man, where are we at?
So I was just about to tap into the plot of the movie.
Yes.
If you don't mind hanging on for just a minute.
Yeah, I am all ears.
All right. This starts as a lonely boy. not Bloy, boy, named Michael Brower, played by Edward Furlong, lives in an isolated existence in his absent father's mansion. Michael's mother was killed in a car accident, which also permanently injured his leg. From his bedroom window, he spends his spare time watching his crush, a typical girl next door named Kimberly, who, unbeknownst to Michael, also feels the same way about him. A huge fan of horror films and video games, Michael's only friend is a similar-minded misfit named Kyle. They are members of a horror club at school, which the principal bans. Kyle tells Michael about a new ultra-realistic game called Brain Scan. Totally intrigued, Michael sends away for the first disc. The game begins strangely with a warning screen informing him that the experience has much in common with hypnotic suggestion. And during his first experience with the game, Michael is encouraged to act as a psychopathic murderer by the game's host, who is an entity known as the Trickster. In-game, Michael murders a stranger and takes his foot as a trophy. Later, he is horrified to discover that his victim in the game was a real person, and that the same murder also happened in the real world. Kyle begs Michael to let him play the game, and Michael angrily rebuffs him, says, "Hell no, let me play it a few more times and you'll get to it." Later, Michael is tormented by Trickster, who exits the game and plays a song by the musical group Primus in Michael's bedroom. Because he is a possible witness to the earlier murder, Trickster tells Michael he must play the second disc to kill the witness. Michael refuses at first, but eventually gives in. However, this time, he has no memory of playing the game, and he finds Kyle's necklace bloody in his freezer and realizes that he murdered Kyle. Michael doesn't remember Kyle's murder and calls his house. The phone is answered by the policeman, Detective Hayden, played by Frank Langella, who, even in a non-horror role, is a pretty scary dude, man.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael becomes paranoid that he'll be sent to jail. He is also continually annoyed by the presence of Trickster, who refuses to leave his home. Trickster ultimately instructs him to kill Kimberly, and at nightfall, Michael sneaks into her room, but refuses to hurt her. Trickster reveals that he is actually the evil part of Michael. He possesses Michael, the struggle of which wakes Kimberly. Kimberly reveals that she's been watching Michael, as well as has been taking pictures, which allows him to break free from his own inner darkness. At the last minute, the Trickster materializes and opens the bedroom door. Detective Hayden enters and shoots Michael dead. Michael awakens in his room. He discovers that the whole experience was a fantasy after a short outburst of rage, ranting at the game for his traumatic experiences. He excitedly realizes that Kyle is still alive and that nothing in the game happened in the real world. His experience with the game's iteration of Kimberly gives him confidence, and he goes over to her house to ask her out, which she replies with a shy maybe before giving him a kiss. The next day, Michael brings the brain scan disc to school to show the principal, since he demanded to review all games and movies before allowing them to be played. It is implied that the principal will have the same nightmarish experience as Michael when the Trickster appears behind the principal. All right, Bruce, give me your thoughts, brother.
So, at different times, mind you. First off, I like this movie. Saw the trailer in the spring of 94, talked to you about it in school. We, at this point in time, me and Adam knew it would never make its way up here to Ketchikan.
Exactly.
Adam, you're still buying Fangoria at this time, right?
Yes, and all the way up until, I think, 2015.
Until they cut it, right?
Yeah.
John Connor. And then that led to, now here's a direct tie-in to the movie, actually. He was in the video for Aerosmith's Living on the Edge as the fucking teenage kid. They wrecked the car.
Yep. Was this
1994?
1993.
Okay. Like the spring of 93. Now where it ties into this movie is there's a poster hanging up in the girl's room.
Uh-huh.
And it says Aerosmith. Get a grip.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
that's something I think I missed.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's what the exact title of the, if it was, but anyways, I thought that was a cool little tie-in. The other one was I know I said this before for a few of the movies we've done, but this is another one that was ahead of its time. It was based around a computer, an internet connection, yep, you know?
And this one was so far back that you remember you had to place a CD inside another cartridge and then put it into your computer.
Yeah, I saw that. Also, what was really cool about this was just the whole thing was just good, man. I like the soundtrack. It was a good 90s soundtrack. Although back then you're getting a pretty good soundtrack for a lot of the movies. But like I said, it showed because they referenced Fangoria at the very beginning of this movie.
And they kind of referenced this magazine throughout, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And they go over his desk and he has Fangoria magazines out, but one isn't covered up and it shows the cover. Did you by chance catch that cover?
You know, I didn't watch it that closely. I'm kind of kicking myself for that now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was Sleepwalkers was on the cover. So Sleepwalkers, Stephen King's Sleepwalkers, kind of a cat movie. At first, we thought it was going to be a vampire movie because it said Sleepwalkers.
Yeah.
Kind of weird movie. There is a bunch of incest going on that's weird as fuck. But that is the movie that is on the cover of the Fangoria on his desk. Now, that movie came out in 1992. Could have very well just been like us. We hold on to shit, you know?
Hell yeah, man.
And so they either shot this in late 92 or something. More realistically, they shot it in 1993 is what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Now, another cool thing about this was the Trickster. Very charismatic, you know?
Yeah.
Frank Langella kind of just played the straight arrow like he didn't. He had a very dry sense of humor in this movie. Very subtle. It's kind of hard to pick up on. I didn't really notice it until this viewing, or I just wasn't, you know, I just finally noticed it. But the cool thing about it was they told him going in that he was going to be seeing a murder through the eyes of the killer.
Yeah.
And then they told him to essentially pick your kill weapon, right?
Yep.
And then it said, take a trophy. And then he cuts the fucking, which is odd. He cuts the foot off, which is what they do in Saw, you know? But what I really liked about it was initially he wakes up and he goes to the party next door and he's freaking out in such a great way on how fucked up and how scary, or just, it just unleashed something within him. He felt so good about the game. He was telling Kyle about it. He went to go talk to the girl. The girl next door. And then it went south quick.
Yeah, because he started seeing the stuff, the news on TV.
Yeah,
about this murder, and they were explaining everything that happened in his game, and he was like, "Wait a second, what's going on here?"
Yeah, yeah, And when you're watching it, you're just like, oh, and there's still a missing foot that hasn't been found. You're like, wait a minute.
Yep.
What the fuck is going on? And then it's just like, holy shit, man. One thing I do like, too, and what helps is the score of the movie. They keep using the same score, but if it works, it works. You know, not everybody could could do what John Carpenter does and have different scores for, but the score of this movie worked. It made it like, damn.
Yeah, it really did. It played along perfectly. It really set the atmosphere. It set the mood.
Yeah. And after the first kill, they show us the kill. After that, they don't show us the kill. They just kind of give it to our imagination at that point.
And that makes it a lot scarier.
Which is crazy, because then it's just like, wait a second, this isn't a game. Like, at this point, I'm like, whoa, you know? Whoa.
When I first saw this movie, I was totally blown away, man.
Yeah. So was I, man. So it came out in April of 94, so May, June, July, August, September, October, November. I think I bought this movie on VHS in Wrangell.
That's right. You did tell me about that one. I do remember the story.
Because I bought it, and I just like, I kind of forgotten that the movie had, you know, it was different times back then. Me and Adam were in school. We're doing teenage things. We're still talking horror movies. Adam was helping DJ in a lot of dances. We're still hanging out. We just had different things going on at that age, right?
Yeah, for sure. I was we had different cliques at the time.
Yeah, but we always hung out. I came back from a trip, there was like this pizza store, and they're like, movies for sale. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, let me take a look at these movies. Like, no fucking way. And they were selling it. I fucking bought it, brought it. And I just like the whole time, I was just like, this is all I don't even want to play basketball right now. I just want to put this movie on. I was going through a breakup, got home. My dad didn't want to watch it, so he started reading a book. I watched it. Called you up because it wasn't too late, and just brought it up to you, handed it to you. Here you go, man. And that's how me and Adam watched it, man.
Yeah, it was definitely a different time. I think I ended up taking that movie down to Terrence's place, and I think I watched it with him.
Yeah, and then at that point, it was just like, it was a community movie. We just left stuff at Terrence's, and Adam would take it home sometimes. I would, and for the people out there, Terrence and Adam did this too. Adam would drop movies off. Be like, hey man, I just recorded this down. And Terrence like, holy shit. Okay, cool, man. Or, hey man, I remember you said you liked Thunderheart. So I recorded it for you. I made a copy for you. And Terrence, like, no fucking way. Shit. Thanks, man. Like that one actually happened, you know?
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Like I did like Thunderheart, and you and Terrence knew that, so you fucking made me a copy.
I still love that movie.
Yeah. So, actually, next time I'm home, I could grab it from my mom. She has it on DVD.
Nice. Okay.
But, so back to this movie, it was just like, it was just getting like, it was kind of a roundhouse kick. Not even, I wouldn't say roundhouse kick, it was a sucker punch. Because I wasn't expecting it to get real to where it was like, ooh, you killed this person. We told you to take a trophy and cut off the foot. He goes over to his freezer and the fucking foot's in there.
Yep. After Trickster told him, put it in a safe place.
Yeah. It's like, damn, dude, the freezer's the safe place. Another quick thing. This one is kind of odd about the movie. Is Edward Furlong, our main character, drinks milk in the most disgusting way possible in this movie.
Yeah, he did.
He drinks it fucking like a fucking savage caveman right out of the carton, which is a fucking no-no. And then after one of the, like, when he initially wakes up the first time and he thinks it's just a, he thought the game was over that first time and he was just waiting for the second disc, you know? He's fucking slams this fucking milk like a fucking savage, and it fucking, he pours it and he drinks it, and it's just all over his fucking mouth and his fucking lips. And I just like, God, you're disgusting. Wipe that shit. And then he doesn't. And it's just like, and then I was kind of stuck on that, and I was like, this motherfucker.
watching him chug that milk, I was like, oh, fuck, man, come on.
Yeah, I was like, that's fucking gross, man.
It was disgusting. He ended up all over his shirt and his chest and everything else.
Yeah. So another thing, too, was what's nuts is I don't know. I mean, you could definitely put it in a movie, but I think it would be really frowned upon with how he's spying on his next-door neighbor and she's topless and everything. You know, then you're just going to come off as a pervert nowadays, you know?
Big time, man.
There's nothing wrong with that, but there is something wrong with spying on your neighbor, man. You could be a perv, but like Adam said, man.
He was a total peeping Tom.
Yeah, yeah. And but like Adam said, it turns out so was she. He was peeping on him and taking pictures. But all the pictures of him, he was reading Fangoria, just kind of chilling. He was like topless and shit, you know? So we get to the second kill, and then it was a witness, and he's like, there was no witnesses, you know? Obviously, there's a witness. There's another kill happens, and he's deteriorating, and he's freaking the fuck out. Kyle still wants to play the game, and he's just a total shithead friend to Kyle at this point, screaming at him. He's not going to borrow it. Slams the door in Kyle's face. Kyle rings the door, and this part made me laugh. Kyle rings the doorbell, and he's like, ugh. And he limps back over to the door. The screen door is closed. He opens it up, and Kyle's just flicking him off and then walks away and gives him the double bird.
That was fucking epic, man.
which I like because he's being a fucking asshole, you know?
Exactly.
Without any context either, man. Like, if I just went over to hang out with you, you're like, No, I'm not going to give you that fucking movie. No. Now, I know, okay? And I always say this to Adam when we're discussing movies. You got to suspend disbelief. But in real life, Adam be like, oh, man, something's fucked up here, man. It was a game, but I fucking killed somebody, apparently. I don't know what the fuck. Any movie. I'm telling you, any movie you could fucking poke holes in the plot.
It was really amazing to watch the process of how fast things spiral out of control.
Yeah, and then he keeps trying to fix it, and he swears he's not going to do it again. And he said there was a witness, and told him he had to deal with it. And then when he doesn't know at this point. We don't know who the kill is. He fucking plays the game. He sets up a video camera to watch him, right? Because he's scared.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he wakes up and he fucking puts the videotape in that he recorded of himself and he gets up and he freaks out, sees himself. So he knows where a fucking good hiding place is, right, Adam?
Yep.
And he goes and opens up the fridge and what does he find? He finds Kyle's necklace.
Yep, and Jesus.
With perfect blood on it.
Spot, right?
Perfect hiding spot. Has blood on it. Freaks the fuck out. I know what I was going to fucking rant on. Was the rat bastard principal of the high school, man. That's what I wanted to fucking want to lay into this guy really quick, if you don't mind.
Remember we had our own horror club, too?
Yeah. This fucking rat fucking bastard.
Remind you of Mr. King?
Yeah. Well, Mr. King was cool. He was the opposite of this. That motherfucker tried getting the boxing club for us. He brought it to the fucking school board. Old fucking cock knocker on this movie. Barges it. And it clearly says horror club. He goes in there and is a fucking raging asshole to these kids who weren't doing anything except watching horror movies at school. This motherfucker. I wanted to fucking punch my TV when this fucking cocksucker was on fucking screen. This fucking rat bastard brings our fucking hero in and just fucking rakes him over the coals. Why? Why do you watch this movie? He's like, it's fun. Oh, why? Because you want to be a killer? What? No. Do you watch pornography? Do you read pornography? And then you're going to rape somebody? And he's like, that's not how this works. Yeah, and I was like, holy fuck, man. Like, this guy was just an asshole, man. And just what it reminded me of was 80s, and I guess to that point too, 90s, how people viewed Christians. You can't listen to that music, Adam. And Adam's just like, oh, I actually like Ozzy Osbourne. I like Kiss. I like this. I'm not fucking doing devil shit. Me and Terrence are just kicking it, but nobody was fucking stupid enough to tell you and Terrence that, because you guys have been like, wait, what? Dude, this is, you realize this music's playing. We're either doing our homework or we're playing the Super Nintendo. Or, you know, after we're done listening to this music, we're going to meet up with Bruce and some other buddies and we're going to play basketball. Fuck you. You know?
Yeah, that or we're going to be boxing.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it just kind of takes that stereotype that you want to try to forget, but then it's just like, damn, you know, there are people in hardcore conservative Christians who, oh, you watch horror movies, that's going to lead you to kill. Oh, I bet you like to read pornography because you get a boner so you can go rape somebody.
Well, like, boners don't actually rape people. People rape people.
Yeah. And, like I said, I wanted to punch my fucking TV. And so I was like, okay, I still like this movie. It still gets the juices flowing with fucking someone to hate. You know, the trickster is still very charismatic. He's funny. Frank Langella, me and you knew him before this, actually.
Frank Langella was actually, he actually played Dracula in 1979, which is actually one of my favorite Dracula movies.
Yeah. Good actor.
He is a phenomenal actor.
Yeah.
And like I was saying earlier, he was really scary, even in a non-horror role.
It was, he was very direct. He was emotionless. And it was just like, holy shit, man. Like, the first time we meet him, he tells him, he's like, what are you doing here? Do you know these people? Are they friends of yours? No. Well, then leave my crimes. He'd go home, kid.
Go home, do your homework, kid.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. It's just like I almost started doing my fucking homework. Another thing is, too, is the third kill, when you get to the third disc, I don't mean to fucking take over. I just got a lot of thoughts on this, bro.
Oh, I told you, go for it, man.
I like how the trickster spitting the DVD, like he fucking puts his finger down in blood and turns it in, not to a DVD, into a CD-ROM, right?
Yep, CD-ROM.
And it's blood red. And I remember being so impressed by this. And like, this is one of the movies I'll watch once or twice a year and then I'll forget certain points. But what you touched on earlier was, you put the CD in a fucking case and then put it in.
Yep. Which is, this was an old school computer, man.
Like, I saw that and I was like, fucking A, I forgot they even did this shit, man. You know what I'm saying? So I really like that. And when the trickster reveals that this is real life, or I think it is, remember when he breaks his own fingers?
Yep, I do.
That was... That's
still this was crazy. Right before or right after he said they could pump a million volts through him, and he sticks his finger in the light socket.
Oh, yeah.
They could break my fingers one by one, and he starts snapping his fingers backwards.
And he's like, and I'd never tell on you, right?
Yep. He could gouge my eyes out, and he sticks those long fingers into his eyeballs.
That always gets me. Whether somebody does it to somebody else or they do it to them, that's a fear of mine. So that's another reason. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, man. And I'm into this movie. And then at this point, we know that the next door neighbor, the girl next door, needs to be killed because of reasons. Right?
Yep. She was also a witness.
Yep. And it's footprints, right?
Yep. Footprints in the mud.
Yep. And so before he goes and deals with that, he's on the run because the cops show up. He's running through the forest and just some craziness starts ensuing. He's fucking hiding in fucking bushes. There's always some fucking cop who's just kind of like pissed off. He's out looking for a kid at this moment, so he's not really looking through the bushes very well. And then
he hears hides under somebody's house and the fucking dog is there.
It's like odd spots, right, bro?
All the worst shit that you can imagine happening to you if you were in that situation.
Yeah, yeah. And I always try to, like, put myself in, like, okay, what would I do?
Exactly. Same here.
And then it's always like, okay, like me and Adam always say, you got to suspend disbelief. If you want to know what you do, you got to fucking put yourself exactly in his position.
That's called empathy.
Yeah, and then it's just like, shit, I don't know what I would do. it's your knee's all fucked up and you're having to fucking half limp, half run. It's not like you can fucking bust out a fucking Forrest Gump run and get the fuck out of town. Shit's fucked up, man. And then quote unquote innocent people start getting killed again, right?
Yep, exactly.
You get mob mentality. These people are freaking out. They shoot one person. Then when the fucking Dracula's fucking partner fucking finds him, fucking shit goes down and fucking he gets killed. And this is where he was subtly funny. How do you say his name? Frank Langella?
Langella.
Langella. Frank Langella.
Yep.
This motherfucker is there. His partner gets on. He's like, I found him. I got him. I got him. I got him. And instead of, he can't hear anything. And very calmly, very monotone, he says, I can't hear you. Turn the volume up. Like on the top of the radio, it's the small button. Turn that up. and it's just so subtle, and his fucking partner's dying, and he's just like, nope, can't hear you. I'm gonna be a smart ass real quick, hold on. Which made me laugh.
You know, in most of Frank Langella's roles, he was almost exactly that same character, whether he was Dracula, whether he was in the, what is the other movie he was in with Johnny Depp? I can't remember the name of it right now, but
oh, it's fine.
He always had the same type of character where he was always very monotone, but very serious, very stern, and very scary just with his performance.
He's actually on an episode of Mark Maron's What the Fuck podcast, like the latest one.
I love Frank Langella, man. He is awesome.
Yeah, so you might want to check that one out then, because I think he talks about his career. So, yeah, and then he escapes, and this fucking fake-ass Bruce Willis cop is like, what are you doing out here, kid? He's like, totally fucking guilty. It's like fucking your dick's right in your fucking hand and you're getting caught.
exactly.
And he's fucking breathing hard like a fucking mouth-breathing pervert. It's like, dude, man, fucking chill the fuck out. He's like I said, then this fake-ass Bruce Willis is like, what are you doing out here? You gotta go. They just shot the murderer over there. So he kind of breathed a sigh of relief. And then the trickster shows up again and tells him, your neighbor's a witness. You know it has to be done.
And trickster is fucking with him all the way, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like you said, though, everybody, like Adam told us at the beginning of this podcast, he's possessed. It's, very Superman 3-ish. He's trying to separate the good and the evil. She's telling him, oh, I love you. I take pictures too. I take pictures too. And he's kind of talking shit back. And then he snaps. He's wearing contacts, so you know he's possessed. And then the trickster shows up, says, I knew you wouldn't do it. You know, so I got one more trick up my sleeve. And he walks over, opens up the door. Fucking... here comes fucking Dracula cop and fucking shoots him in the chest. Fucking dies. People are crying. And he wakes up and he's in the fucking in his recliner. Another thing I liked about this is Igor.
Igor was awesome. And I always looked for that program to be able to do all that same shit. But I don't think it ever existed.
Okay, that was my next question. Ever exist? No, it didn't. It would have been cool though, man. Yes, master. And even to the point when the neighbor calls him, Igor it's a busy signal and says, "Master's busy."
Yeah. Master is busy.
Yeah, and it's like, damn,
Master
man.
Is busy. That kept repeating.
And that's another thing that's ahead of its time. I don't do it anymore, but like what you could do, I did this back in 08, I think, 08 and 09. I used to have an outro tone. So, Adam, you call me. It used to be Billie Jean would play. That's what you would hear. And you had to pay for it for like a month at a time. I didn't want to do that because I didn't have disposable income back then. I was paying child support. But seeing that today, and I was like, man, that's another thing that's just ahead of its time. It's got an outro ringtone to it, man, which is pretty fucking amazing. And that would have been cool if you could have had that whole Igor set up back in, 18 years ago,
Yeah, no shit, man. I remember wanting that really bad. Even I was like, I don't think it even exists, man.
Yeah. It's just nuts, man. And I that's one of the things like I really like about that. And like I said, I like that when he, do not disturb Igor. Yes, master. It's busy tone, but it's Igor still. It's like, damn, that's pretty fucking cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, so there's a lot of good things to like about this movie.
Hell yeah. So my favorite character in the movie was the Trickster.
Okay.
He, like you were talking about earlier, was very charismatic. He was really a lot of fun just to listen to, just to see what he was going to do next.
Yep.
Trickster was freaking awesome.
Yeah, and as far as deadpan goes, Frank Langella was awesome too, man.
Fuck yes.
I was trying to do some research on this. I went to Wikipedia and I was like, oh, I want to see. They got a production thing on there, so I'm going to click on that. And like the director or somebody was talking like, the Trickster was the main part of the movie. We had to cast it just right. The Edward Furlong was a 15-year-old who sucked at acting. And I was like, gee, that's kind of harsh.
He said, you had to slap him awake every morning.
Yeah. It's like, damn, somebody slapped.
He said, I don't want to get into... He said, I don't want to get into knocking people, but I was not a big fan of Eddie Furlong.
Which it turns out later, it sounded like he could be an asshole,
He sounds like he was a total prick from the beginning, man.
Which is crazy, man. But yeah, I don't remember if it was on an episode of this Horror After Hours or if it was on mine, Swap Flies Telling Lies. But we were talking remakes and what we would want and what ones we hated. This is a remake that I said I would be okay with if like Jordan Peele did it,
I would really, really like to see a remake of this one. This was like you were saying before, this movie was way ahead of its time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty fucking, I wouldn't, Blumhouse gets it. Yeah, I'm fucking for that shit,
Yes, I personally enjoyed this film.
Yes.
But upon its release, it received mostly negative reviews.
This is, when you go over this, all I could think about is back in the day. Like I said, I remember buying it, being excited, bringing it up to you. Parents watched it eventually, and we were all just like, that's pretty fucking cool, man.
At that time, you and I were huge fans of Eddie Furlong.
Yeah.
I mean, we already bought into it, hook, line, and sphincter.
Oh, yeah, especially after Pet Sematary 2.
Exactly.
It's just, this is a favorite. This definition of a cult classic,
This is a good one, and in my opinion, everyone should watch this for themselves and form their own opinion.
Yes. Check it out. Please check it out. Hit Adam up. Hit man, tell him to fucking call him, leave a voice message on your fucking... you could do that on the Anchor app,
Yeah, exactly. No shit. If you have not watched this one, you better watch it. If you have already seen this one, watch it again.
Talk to me and Adam about it, man.
No shit, yeah. There might have been something you missed.
Yeah.
And I I rate this film with a solid 4 chainsaws out of 5.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5 chainsaws too. I think looking back at it through a magnifying glass, like what could have made this better is the acting. Like we get the trickster, we clearly see a charismatic bad guy. But maybe go a little bit more into the neighbor. I don't know, man. I could have used Kyle a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I thought Kyle should have had more of a story.
Yeah.
Kimberly should have had more of a story, and the detective should have had more of a story.
Yeah, but I, you know, maybe that's part of the appeal is we don't get to see that, so me and you get to form the opinion on what we don't see, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, maybe we wouldn't have. Either way, man, 4 chainsaws is pretty good, man. We enjoy this movie. We just got it again this year, which is awesome, you know?
And I watch it. Yeah, I got to be honest. I watch it once a year.
Yeah. Times. Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, it's not just because Adam doesn't watch it 20 times a year doesn't mean it's not a favorite of his. It's just you gotta watch favorites when you want to watch your favorites, man.
And I've got a lot of favorites when it comes to these horror movies, man. Mm-hmm.
But you also got to think about this too. So after I bought it, and like I said, it was just kind of a community VHS tape for us. Is how many times did you and Terrence put this on? You guys were doing artwork. You know what I'm saying?
So it was just about every day, I think, for a couple of months.
yeah, until New Nightmare came out and available to us.
Yep.
It's just enjoy this movie, man. It's still enjoyable. You got to remember it came out in 94. So when you watch it in that context of like, okay, this movie came out in 94, then you realize how ahead of the time it is. And it's amazing.
Yeah. And even the effects, you know, they weren't the greatest effects, but it wasn't all CGI, which is awesome. And a lot of the movie you actually see from the perspective of the killer, which is really, really crazy.
Yeah. Another thing too is when he was trying to call Kyle, pictures came up of Kyle. So to put that into context, I could take a picture of Adam, attach it to his fucking phone number, and that picture will come up in my phone. Now they were doing this in 1994 for a program that doesn't exist, but still, it's just amazing, you know?
Yeah, this was long before cell phones.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just cool, man. It's really fucking cool.
Really was a fun movie.
Yeah, and just to go...
It had a lot of plot twists to it.
Yes, and can't stress this enough, man. If you guys have Twitter, follow Fangoria on Twitter. It's a good follow. Plus, you can just kind of go on there and click on stuff and see some of the stuff that me and Adam are talking about. It's Fangoria is a good follow.
Oh yeah, I've been following them for a long time and try to keep up to date on the latest stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. You know, I keep up to date on the latest, but I still prefer the originals.
No, I hear you, man. I totally get that. Like I said, I was really excited when you said you wanted to do this movie. I'm like, yes.
And I know this movie had a special place in your heart, so I had to have you on this
episode. Yeah.
Just for this one.
A lot of fun, bro. Thanks.
Oh, again, yeah. It's been a blast, so... This is all we have for this film, folks. And thank you all for tuning in to Horror After Hours. And a big thank you to Bruce for joining me tonight via call-in. This has been a blast.
Yeah, like I said, buy something for the person you're banging now that you're going to buy for the previous person out of spite. Buy it from Adam.
There you go.
All right, brother. Love you, man.
I love you too, buddy.
Later.
I want to give a huge shout-out to all of my friends and loyal listeners in Metlakatla, Ketchikan, Wrangell, Petersburg, Juneau, Gustavus, Anchorage, Palmer, and Kenai, and then all the way down to Washington. You know who you are. I sincerely thank you. You all stay safe out there. I'm the Naughty Guy, and this is Horror After Hours, signing off. Hello, this is the Naughty Guy, Adam J. Keep listening to Horror After Hours with the Naughty Guy, as my friends and I, we discuss some of our favorite movies and some of our favorite novels. Bear Crossing Bed and Breakfast. We have a beautiful view which overlooks downtown Ketchikan. You can find us on the Airbnb app or on Facebook. You can contact us through either of these apps for any information. Skylar's Table offers cafeteria-style dining, fresh soups and salads, and paninis. And all of his meats are roasted fresh daily. If you're looking for great food, great prices, and even better company, come to Skylar's Table, a place for visitors. Podcast Swatting Flies, Telling Lies. If you like a fun, crazy podcast with loads of information that you didn't know you need, give this one a listen. Bruce's show is always a lot of fun. You never know what he's going to say next, and I'm always tuning in to find out. Next, I got Lazy Mountain Brewing Company, located in Palmer, Alaska, owned by Neil and Sarah Gottschall. They're providing quality craft beers with crisp, clean flavor. Look for Lazy Mountain Brewing Company on Facebook. You will also find their beers all around the Anchorage area. They're just good, honest beers. That's, again, Lazy Mountain Brewing Company. Also look for my friend Danny's podcast. That's Hinterlands Media, where he discusses current topics and conspiracies. And also look for his new podcast called Hinterlands Storytime. This should be a lot of fun. This is where he discusses his favorite fantasy, sci-fi novels, movies, and games. This really should be a lot of fun. Danny's a lot of fun, so give both his shows a listen. I know I will. And finally, the Naughty Guy. I finally have a Facebook page. Check it out. Give me a like and a follow to see all of my latest network. You can find my network in a few of the local stores around Ketchikan. You look for Maiden Voyage, Scanlan Gallery, and also the Alaska Outpost. Tell them the Naughty Guy sent you. Thanks a lot, folks. Keep listening.